But it's time to step away. Though you're only king for a day, tell the matter to which God you pray. Precious time to step away.
Well, good morning and welcome to Monday morning. I just checked the radar, the weather, because there is rain happening in parts of the province, not the whole province right now. But if you look at the radar, the strip, the swath of rain that's coming through is actually coming up from the southwest part of the province. So I am happy for the southwest part of Saskatchewan, which has desperately needed moisture over the last little while. I don't know how much will materialize out of this. It doesn't look like it will be a ton, but it travels up through Regina and continues up to the northeast. Saskatoon and the northwest part of the province doesn't look as if it will be affected by at least the showers that are coming today, but spotty showers throughout the day in parts of the province. Hey, thanks again to Rena Wilkie and Pam Scott, who joined me off the top of the show this morning. Because of the fact today commemorates the liberation, 80 years ago today, the liberation of the Netherlands, and we are going to throughout the week be talking about this. VE Day is actually on May the 8th, and so that speaks to Europe, I would say, in a greater sense. But over the next month or so, we will be talking lots about memories of the war and the role that Canadian soldiers played in it. I threw it out there earlier and said, if you had a loved one that was involved in the war, I would love to hear your connections. Right away, Chase from Minton says, my great-grandma lived beside a concentration camp in World War II. You can imagine the stories that get handed down in those families who had loved ones that were over there during the war. Another text here that says, while working at Regina Pioneer Village 15 years ago, I met a Dutch war bride who told me her story of May 5th. She said that they were starving and so happy and relieved to see the Canadian soldiers come. There was a dance after the liberation, and her eyes met the eyes of a Canadian soldier. They fell in love, married in Holland, and she came to Canada. That happened for so, so many. Tony with a text, good morning. My grandfather was with the South Saskatchewan Regiment, 2nd Canadian Infantry Division, that fought at Dieppe. August 1942, Normandy after D-Day in 44, was wounded twice, became a sergeant, 1947, returned home. Tony, thanks so much for the text. If you would love to share your family connection to World War II or maybe directly to the Netherlands, please shoot us a text at 1-877-332-8255 or give us a call if you like, because the phone lines are officially open. 1 hour, open lines, whatever you would like to talk about. Maybe you're a big Jets fan, and the fact that, I mean, how often do you see in the NHL or in hockey in general, goalies get pulled in the last few minutes of the game with an attempt to try and get that tying goal? What about where you need two goals? I mean, the chances of getting both goals, it happens. We've seen it happen before, but more often than not, the puck makes its way into the empty net and seals the win. Last night, Winnipeg pulls their goalie. Hellebuck is out. Over, what, I think there's 3 minutes or so left that they're looking to try and tie the game. They come within one, so they score one goal. And then, with under 2 seconds left,
Ehlers fanned on it. Count to three. Ehlers, cross ice, score! Score! Perfetti! With under 2 seconds remaining, ties it!
I mean, if anybody was listening to that, not paying attention to the game, you'd think that was a game-winning goal. And it was essentially a game-tying goal with 1.6 seconds left on the clock. So they go into overtime. First overtime period solves nothing. Second overtime period solves something.
Yeah, shoot!
It's crazy. It actually took me back. I've said this a few times. I'm a big New York Islanders fan. 1987, Easter weekend, New York Islanders playing the Washington Capitals. The game goes into quadruple overtime. This was a game seven in that Stanley Cup series. Goes into quadruple overtime, and Pat LaFontaine scores halfway through the fourth OT period. Isles win 4-3, game 7. Kelly Rudy, by the way, 73 shots he stopped in that contest. So makes me think of that. There's some good, some great playoff stories when it comes to overtime. And maybe that one for you ranks right up there last night. I'd love to hear your thoughts. 1-877-332-8255. We got lots of other things going on. Carney and Trump meet tomorrow. Now, Donald Trump, I don't know if you caught, he was on with NBC's Meet the Press on the weekend. He basically doubled down on a lot of the messaging that we've heard from Donald Trump in the last 100 days.
So will you talk to him about making Canada a 51st state, annexing Canada?
I'll always talk about that. You know why? We subsidize Canada to the tune of $200 billion a year. We don't need their cars. In fact, we don't want their cars. We don't need their energy. We don't even want their energy. We have more than they do. We don't want their lumber. We have great lumber. All I have to do is free it up from the environmental lunatics. We don't need anything that they have. We're giving them. I asked Mr. Trudeau, who I call Governor Trudeau. I said, you know, not Prime Minister, Governor. I said, Governor Trudeau, could I ask you one question? Why are we giving you $200 billion? Why are we subsidizing Canada? If Canada was a state, it wouldn't cost us. It would be great. It would be such a great, it would be a cherished state. And if you look at our map, if you look at the geography, I'm a real estate guy at heart. When I look down at that, without that artificial line that was drawn with a ruler many years ago, it was just an artificial line, goes straight across. You don't even realize what a beautiful country it would be. It would be great. But I don't think the American public wants me to pay $200 billion a year to subsidize Canada. Again, remember this.
Yeah.
We don't need their cars. We don't need their lumber. We don't need their energy. We don't need anything. We do very little business with Canada. They do all of their business practically with us.
What do you think? Is it going to... I watched that interview with Donald Trump, particularly what he says about Canada, and it makes me think... I am not convinced Mark Carney is going to be able to go tomorrow to Washington, have a meeting with Donald Trump, and completely change the tide. There's no doubt he respects... I think Donald Trump respects Mark Carney more than he did Trudeau. That said, Trump's messaging continues. So I'm not convinced. And so many people are saying, look, is it going to be a meeting like we saw with Zelensky? Remember how that was set up? I mean, standing room only in the Oval Office. And it ended up being a bit of more of an attack, I would suggest, on Zelensky, almost a staged ambush, if you will. It's been said many times. If these two leaders, and in fact, the California governor, Newsom, said these two leaders can get in a room by themselves, take their jackets off, roll their sleeves up, sit down at a table, and actually have a good conversation, maybe you get somewhere. But if you've got a bunch of aides standing around and the vice president sitting there and a bunch of, I don't know. I don't know if it's more than a photo op, but I guess time will tell. And I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on that one as well. 1-877-332-8255. And another big topic this morning is this growing voice, and I'm not going to say amongst the majority of people in Western Canada, but it's a growing voice among some in Western Canada on the notion of separation. Alberta's legislature, do you see the video from Alberta's legislature on the weekend? There were a lot of people, hundreds of people. They had Alberta flags. They had U.S. flags. And then some even mashed the two together and had the Alberta flag with the stars and stripes kind of superimposed over top of it. So this is the big push by some Albertans for separation, saying things are not going to change under the new government, and so it's time to make changes to the Confederation. Saskatchewan? Well, you heard Premier Mo, who, by the way, we have on the show tomorrow, Premier Scott Mo joining us tomorrow, but you heard Premier Mo say last week that while he doesn't support separating from Canada, he also understands the sentiment. He wants a strong Saskatchewan inside of a united Canada. He talks about wanting to have that face-to-face meeting with Prime Minister Mark Carney. He has thrown the olive branch out there saying he wants to push the reset button. He wants to basically set the stage for new discussions on Saskatchewan having a greater voice in the federal government? Will all of that happen? Or are you a person that says Western separation is the way to go? Because to me, this is actually a broader topic about Western alienation. People not feeling valued, people not feeling supported by Ottawa. In fact, we become shunned until such point that they need our natural resources. And then, of course, we're back up in the good books again. So to me, it's more about Western alienation than it is separation. And I have said repeatedly on this program, I'm not someone that supports the notion of separation. How do you see it? 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines open, text lines open for a full hour. It's open lines. Whatever's on your mind, we're happy to chat about. Give us a shout. We'll be right back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. This Monday morning, May the 5th, marks the 80th anniversary of the liberation of the Netherlands. And we know that May the 8th, which is coming up later this week, is the is VE Day, essentially known as the end of World War II in Europe, the defeat of a regime responsible for Holocaust and widespread destruction after nearly 6 years of war. So in that, we have talked to this morning already people that had connections to Amsterdam, to the Netherlands, and what that looked like during the war, the appreciation that they had for Canadian soldiers. And I threw it out there. If you have someone in your family who was a Canadian soldier fighting in World War II, I'd love to hear your thoughts and connection. And lots of people weighing in. Colin from Mooseman says, my grandfathers were both in the Air Force. Dad's dad was a bomber and fighter pilot, mostly fighter jets. Mom's dad was a mechanic. In my stepdad's family, one of his uncles was an army medic. My understanding is that he landed at Juno Beach, but was killed a few days later. Colin from Mooseman, thanks so much for the text. Bryn with a text this morning says, my English cousins, Bernard and Graham, two brothers in their early 20s, fought in World War II and died fighting the Nazis in Egypt and Greece, 1942-1944, respectively. What blew my mind was reading that their planes were shot down. After doing it, the Nazis called the Red Cross with the plane numbers and locations that they went down. And as a result, the family has some of their things like flight logbooks, which is crazy to think about. They graduated university in Wales and then died, but the Allies were ultimately successful in stopping the Nazis on those fronts in Egypt and Greece. Their deaths were not in vain. Their graves are still over there today. It's amazing how you can feel so proud of people that you've never met. So true, Bryn. Thanks so much for joining us. Hey, Jason Regina, who joins the conversation regularly, says, I don't have any personal stories but about Canadian soldiers, but my coworker's grandfather was a German SS officer who fought for Germany in the war, ended up fleeing to Canada, and they still have his SS uniform today. 1-877-332-8255. On the notion of separation, it's something that we continue to see people joining in the conversation of. A lot of people on the text line saying, look, I really do feel that people are just frustrated, which is fine. We have to let people talk. But I'm summarizing about three or four texts that are saying separation from Canada at a time where we need to be united is not the answer. Others are saying those that feel that way, those that say now is not the time to separate, are those that continue to see history repeat itself and not being willing to do anything to step in and take it on a course of our own. 1-877-332-8255. So we got a few different topics on open lines this morning. I want to go to Brian in Saskatoon. Brian, are you taking us on a bit of a journey about the war and a love story? Is that right?
That's correct. About 25 years ago, we commissioned some veterans interviews through the air show here in Saskatoon. And one particular story stood out and always has over the last number of years for me specifically. And I'm not related to this gentleman, but Flight Lieutenant Reginald Harrison, who turns 103 years old this coming August here in Saskatoon. He lives here in Saskatoon. He was flying Lancasters in World War II. and survived four crashes. So hence his tagline was Crash Harrison. One of his buddies, and technically the fellow's name was Buddy, best friend over there, did not make it back. But just prior to dying, Buddy had asked Reg to make sure that he got a message to his fiancée, Jean, back in Ottawa, Canada, if anything had happened to him. Well, Reg hummed and hawed about it, but he figured he yielded that much to his friend Buddy. So when Reg was discharged, I guess the CO figured he might not survive five crashes, so they shipped him back to Canada. And Reg hesitated a lot, but did finally hunt down Jean in Ottawa. And lo and behold, they ended up getting married, raising a family here in Saskatoon, here in Saskatchewan. And they, upon going back overseas and visiting Buddy's grave, they had a candid conversation. In fact, this story is being told right now at the Canadian War Museum in Ottawa.
Wow.
It's a national love story, and it's something that I'm very proud of knowing from a long time ago. But they stood at Buddy's grave and said, "Hope you're okay with this, Buddy. You asked me to talk to Gene, and now we're married and raising kids." It's just something special, and these fellas risked it all and came back and built this country.
Wow. Well, I appreciate, Brian, you taking the time to pass that story along. Those are the pieces of information that we don't want to lose. That's Canadian history. That talks about how the fabric of this province in many ways has so many connections to it. And, hey, a salute to Reg Harrison, 103 years old in Saskatoon. Survives four plane crashes, true Canadian hero, one of thousands that we have from this province as well. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. I want to grab this call from Robert, who is on the road. Robert, I was bringing up the notion of whether you want to call it Western separation, Western alienation. There was a big crowd, hundreds of people in front of the Alberta legislature yesterday supporting separation from Canada. Where are you at on this, Robert?
Separation's not going to work whatsoever. Guys like me, for instance, I'm retired, so I depend on federal pension as well as my military pension. That's federal.
Thank you for your service.
As well as that. But I do suggest there's too many of us, and then you have to look at the Indigenous people because they get lots from the federal government.
Sure.
So they're going to be leery about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work. However, I do have a solution. Sovereignty Association out west.
So you're kind of talking about what Quebec has done.
Exactly. That way we could deal with our own taxes, federal taxes. We give it to the feds instead of them taking it from us. Have our own embassies. Economically, we get together and we deal with the states ourselves. I think that would work out well.
Go ahead, sorry.
Canada.
It's an interesting concept, Robert. We chatted with Paul Martin on Friday about that, and the reality is, and Paul said this, is while it might give Saskatchewan a bigger voice on some things, it likely would guarantee that the Liberals continue to form government, because you know those votes, if Saskatchewan and Alberta were to step into that sort of an arrangement, would come from the Conservative Party. So it would diminish their chances at forming government and likely guarantee that Liberal government continues to go forward. Now, some people will argue, yeah, okay, but at least our needs are being met and we have a louder voice federally. It's a good discussion. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Open phones continue until 10 o'clock, whatever you would like to chat about here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome to Monday Morning. Evan Bray, hope you had a nice weekend. Boy, the weather cooperated. Absolutely beautiful, downright hot. In fact, parts of Saskatchewan breaking records over the weekend, 32, 33 degrees. Longstanding records in many of those same areas getting a little bit of reprieve this morning with showers that are moving through the southwest part of the province and up to the northeast. Okay, phone lines are open, 1-877-332-8255. Right off the start, I mentioned May 5th is an important day for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is it is known as Red Dress Day here in Canada. Every May 5th, the National Day of Remembrance and Activism, honoring the lives of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. And that is exactly what Maddie would like to chat about, calling in from Regina. Good morning, Maddie. Thanks for calling into the show.
Good morning, Evan. I just wanted to highlight that 6 years after our murdered and missing Indigenous peoples met with government, unfortunately, we're still in the situation where women are still being victimized. And I'm going to say it's not just Indigenous women, it's every race, and we have some systemic barriers that we need to still work through on the Indigenous side, mm-hmm. right? But also to highlight that we need a national alert system. We need safe transportation infrastructure for the northern people, because lots of the women that are in the north, they don't have the same access to transportation, to safe shelters, to, you know, just get away from the violence.
Sure.
And changes to our policing and justice systems. And Evan, you and I have known each other. I think you know my
voice. Yeah, I knew right away. I recognized your voice, Maddie. And I was thinking, I mean, you and I have worked on numerous committees through the years. Do you think, so 2019 was when the report was released from the National Inquiry, the MMIWG National Inquiry. Have we made progress since then, do you think, Maddie?
I'd say not enough, just because the awareness piece of it. I feel for the family still, because when it's an Indigenous woman that goes missing, lots of times the families aren't given the same support. And that's just from what I hear from the families, and being, you know, having a family member of my own, Brandy Wessequait, who's been missing for many years. Mm-hmm. It's a sad reality that there's not enough
supports, not enough. I mean, it's, you know, I can tell you, and again, Maddie, you and I have worked on trying to make improvements, systemic
yes.
improvements. And I, while I think we have, I will not disagree with you that there's always more work to do. And I think finding ways to support families through a tragic situation that often what families are wanting most is answers. And sometimes yeah. the system isn't set up to be able to provide that in a very timely way.
But I also want to highlight gender-based violence, because gender-based violence, I think there's a lot more to it, right? And I got to highlight, Saskatchewan needs to do more with awareness, and we have to target, you know, families, family wellness. What are healthy relationships, right? What are unhealthy relationships? How to get support, how to get access, how to have better role modeling, you know, as a part of marketing, rather than looking at the negatives, let's highlight the positives of what is a healthy family. I think sometimes people don't realize that we really need to focus more on that, because on the positives and bringing out the positive, mm-hmm. finding the support. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you calling in, Maddie. You're a hardworking advocate and supporter. You've been a great partner through the years in a lot of the work that's been done province-wide to try and deal with, whether it's gender-based violence, improvements after that national inquiry came out on the MMIG 2S Plus inquiry and some of the recommendations that came from that report in 2019, which have been implemented, but there's always more to do. And that this is an important discussion to have on today, May the 5th, which is known as Red Dress Day in Canada. Maddie, thanks so much for calling in. 1-877-332-8255. We kind of got a variety of different topics going on this morning, which is fine. That's what Open Phones is all about. And we would love to hear from you. There's a lot of people that are weighing in on this notion of Western separatism and whether or not it's the right way to go. Grant in Bengough says, good morning. Separation is the only way to go. The Laurentians will never allow the West the proper voice. Tripoli Senate might help, but we'll never see that. I agree with you, Grant. We won't. So, Grant says separation is the only way to go. Another texter here says, we need to organize a party like the Bloc. This is the only way we can have influence in Ottawa. The rest of Canada can elect their red Tories to a minority. Then the Western Bloc can influence by propping them up like Bloc Québécois does for the Liberals. Another text saying, we deserve the same treatment protections from federal overreach as Quebec has. Anything short of that, it's time we join Alberta and seek sovereignty. 1-877-332-8255. I mentioned Premier Scott Moe is scheduled to join us first thing tomorrow morning, and we will have this conversation with Premier Moe. He has spoken about this recently. Danielle Smith, too, by the way. Danielle Smith will be giving an address to Albertans this morning or this afternoon. I think I want to say 4 o'clock, but I could be wrong on that. But it is this afternoon that she will be. They have a caucus meeting. Then she will be making a statement, and a lot of it has to do with this growing rise of support for separatism, or at least exploring what options are there. Some great writing in national papers and publications. The National Post's Kelly McFarland had a great story. Carney must prioritize quelling Western discontent. And Tasha Carradine, who we've had on this program a number of times, I love to read her writing. I think she does a great job. She says a national unity crisis is brewing in one of her recent stories in the National Post. And in her story, she says, while Carney smiles for the cameras and promises to work with everyone, behind the scenes, he must have been grimacing, because what he's really won is a poisoned chalice, which will make standing up for Canada a Herculean task. All three potential allies lean hard left, Tasha writes, notably on the environment, crushing the possibility of a nation-building project like a pipeline or nuclear-powered energy corridors. Carney's vision for boosting Canada's economy and securing energy independence now looks like a dead letter. The Bloc and Greens oppose fossil fuel development, and the NDP will demand social spending first, last, and always. And she ends her article by saying, a Liberal government propped up by either separatists or a coalition of eco-sociologists will not sit well in Alberta and Saskatchewan or BC. Western Canada already felt alienated before. Now the discontent threatens to harden into full-blown separatist sediment. Calls for greater provincial autonomy or outright secession will grow louder, particularly if Carney is forced to kill energy infrastructure projects to placate his partners. In short, a national unity crisis is brewing, one we haven't seen the likes of in a generation. Unless Carney finds a way to get the West on board, his dream of building a stronger, greener, wealthier Canada will be smothered before it even begins. It's a great article from Tasha Carradine. And this is going to be one of the pieces of work that Mark Carney is going to have to address quickly. And what that looks like, what that sounds like, and so much of what it looks like here in our province depends on you, depends on whether or not people support the idea of this separatist movement, or, and this is a big or, are people frustrated but want to find a way to encourage Premier Scott Moe to work with Mark Carney to try and make change by, as the Premier pointed out, pushing the reset button, finding a way to work more collaboratively, finding a way to ensure that Saskatchewan interests can be heard, can be prioritized. And as I say it, I hear people shouting at the radio saying, Evan, that's been tried for years and it's proven that it doesn't work. No matter who's in government in Ottawa, the West gets the shaft. I can hear it. I can hear it. 1-877-332-8255. What do you think? Do we need to basically pause this conversation, take a deep breath, and give Mark Carney a chance? Taylor in Saskatoon, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm going to say this so people don't judge me, because, you know, you can be quickly judged here in Saskatchewan. I am a conservative guy, and I conservatives to take over, and I think the proper transition is how we're doing it right now. You can actually see with the seats and how they're going. Eventually, the conservatives are going to move in, and I think that's a great thing, and I think Canada needs that. But right now, you know, you can't take change overnight, and people need to wash, like, not wash Justin Trudeau, because he was in politically correct way, not a very smart prime minister, you know. But I mean, you want to look back and what we're dealing with in the States right now. We got a president of power. And then you got somebody here. I don't mind Carney right now, and I want to see what he can do. You watch the debates when all three of them were debating, okay? He, in my opinion, was one of the only people at that table when they were debating that was not being politically incorrect, that was not doing personal attacks. He was very straight to the point and being diplomatic. And you can't throw Danielle Smith in Alberta to go up and fight Donald Trump, or let alone work for the guy. It just doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have the type of character to go up and stand up to this guy. You need somebody that has a diplomatic way, because you don't want to twist Donald Trump to make it worse for Canada, and you certainly... You know, you don't want to aggravate him, and you certainly don't want anybody to side with him, like mm-hmm. Daniel Smith in Alberta, right? You want someone that has some kind of politically correct sense that can go in there and know how to deal with stupidity without being aggressive.
Taylor, I appreciate you calling into the show, because this weekend I probably had five conversations with friends or acquaintances, people that I know. In almost every case, they were conservative. Leaning people that voted conservative in the election, and most of them, in fact, I think all but one, was saying exactly what Taylor just said. How about this? How about we give it a chance? Let's see where we can go. They were absolutely entrenched in their feeling that we needed to have a change in government, and it didn't happen, but they're not willing to pack their bags. They're not willing to pack their bags. They're saying, let's see. Let's give it a chance. Carney is meeting with Trump tomorrow. That's step one. Carney is hopefully going to come to Saskatchewan and meet with Premier Mo. That's another big step. So what comes from these meetings? Will we see change? Lots of people, like Taylor, saying that's what we have to focus on today. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I would say the separatist movement is alive and well in Alberta. The conversation is alive and well in Saskatchewan. I mean, I know that there are signatures being collected right now. I don't know if it's a movement here to the degree it is in Alberta. I do see lots of texts, though, like Dean and Kamsack saying that they believe separation is the way to go. Dean says having a federal separatist party would only help the Liberals. Separation must start at the provincial level, and we need a strong separatist provincial party. But for them to be credible, we need high-profile leadership and candidates that will elevate the separatist movement among Western Canadians. Dean and Kamsack. 1-877-332-8255. Kelly and Silton, Western separation, 100% the way to go. I only see a problem with the elected representatives of these four provinces. Some of these MLAs will lose their positions in Parliament. MPs, I think is what he means. Have to get a job and stop relying on the taxpayer. That's Kelly and Silton. Now, I just had Taylor call in, and Taylor said, I believe we've got to give Mark Carney a chance. He self-disclosed he's a conservative. He wanted the conservatives to win. They didn't, but he's prepared to give Mark Carney a chance. Lewis is on the road this morning. And what do you say, Lewis? Are you giving Carney a chance?
Well, he's got a very short leash. One of the things I like to have a discussion about with him is when someone tells you who they are, believe them. He has told us that he is 100% in favor of net zero, that fossil fuel should be kept in the ground, that the emissions cap is going to stay on, Bill C-69 is going to stay on. So if those are his positions from the past, you have to believe him that those are going to be the positions going forward.
It's the whole notion that past behavior indicates what future performance is going to look like. It's what you're saying.
Absolutely. Nobody changes the color of their coat that quickly.
Do you think Premier Scott Moe can meet with Mark Carney and, along with this kind of push on Western separatism, will it be enough to move Mark Carney off some of those positions? Do you have faith that could happen, Lewis?
Not a chance. There's one Liberal that's been voted in Saskatchewan in the last three elections. 64% of the Saskatchewan population has voted against the carbon tax, the gun registry, the orders in council. So you're not going to change his view, and you're probably unlikely going to change the view of Saskatchewan.
Well, judging by what you've said to me, Lewis, that leash is very short. You're not giving him much leash. We'll see. It starts with a conversation that Mark Carney has tomorrow with Donald Trump. I do hope that we see him in Saskatchewan and having a meeting with Premier Moe, who, by the way, is going to be on the show with us tomorrow. Premier Moe joining us tomorrow for further discussion. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOL.